We went hurriedly. We went, you know, in a hurry to get to our car. And this little boy, I don't believe he would be over 6 years old. He ran and he got in front of us to get our attention and get us stopped. He looked up at me. He said, "Preacher, I really enjoyed what you preached." And he told me, and I'd preached on a subject that wouldn't be easy. I was preaching on the seven things that God did before the foundation of the world. And this little boy told me what part of the sermon that he really enjoyed. Well, I just knelt down to the little fellow. And, of course, tears flooded all of our eyes. I said, "Son, you keep on coming. That won't be the last thing that you'll hear that will make your little heart rejoice. Because, brother, God had given him that receiving set to receive the gospel of the grace of God. He gives it to the old. He gives it to the middle age. He gives it to the young. And no wonder that Jonah could say it. And it's still coming out from the primitive Baptist pulpits over the airwaves that salvation is with the Lord. And one sweet day, we'll gather in the throne room of glory." I was called to the hospital just a few days ago to one of my dear friends who has told me for several years, "When I die, Brother Larmer, they'll call you to preach my funeral." So he appeared to be near the end of the journey. And when I left the hospital after praying with him, I thought, well, that'll be the last time possibly that I'll see him alive in this world. And I had not noticed when I turned the switch off of my car to go into the hospital that I was playing a tape of a group of the West Texas Association of Singing. And after I'd left my friend and felt for the last time that I'd ever seen, of course, well, I was very sad and very downcast. When I turned the switch on my car, the song came on, "We'll Sing with the Angels There." Brother, I just had a little meeting like Brother Randall said last night. When you look in the mirror and you see yourself, I had a little meeting there, just me and the Lord, to think that if I never saw my friend again in this world, we'll sing with the angels there, because salvation is the Lord. I hail you happy. God bless you. Keep moving in this direction because you're on the right course.
As first love.
John Belton.
It is indeed a pleasure and a privilege to have been with you here again at Cincinnati. The Lord has richly blessed us to hear the gospel proclaimed. And now that it has fell our lot to stand before you, we desire interest in your prayers that you might continue to pray. that the Spirit of God would be among us. For I am like the Apostle Paul. I am before you in much fear and much trembling. I do not fear you this morning or these dear ones at my back. But I realize that there is a great God of heaven and of earth, and His hand of providence is watching over His people throughout their life. And I read to you from 1 Chronicles, the 29th verse, the 11th chapter. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. That pretty well describes our God. For the greatness is His and the power. It irritates me some to see men get up and proclaim a God that does not have all power both in heaven and in earth. And we hear so much of it down in our part of the country, and I imagine you do up here, that the Lord is trying to do something if you'd only let Him. But brother, and I stand before you this morning preaching a God that has all power. The one that in the beginning said, God created the heaven and the earth. And brethren, when you create something, you take nothing and you make something out of it. Amen. And you notice we was created in Christ Jesus, so therefore He took nothing and He made something out of us. By the divine holy of His Son. And we can see how that when He created the heaven and the earth, and all things therein, made the seas, the fish, the fowls of the air, the cattle, the beautiful trees that we see, all the handiwork of God, He made it. And then when He had finished all of this, then He took a handful of dirt and He made man. Now man may want to proclaim that he had something to do with making this earth, but I want you to know man was made after all this was made. And He made man, and you know, the world today is, scientists are trying to tell us that this world is so many million years old. And you know, they say the primitive Baptists don't know much, but I'll tell you, we know more than people think we do. We know where man come from. He come from the dust of the earth, and he'll dust he shall return. We know that this earth is going on 6,000 years old because we got a history book here to prove it, that God Himself inspired men to write. And we also see the greatness of our God, how that He was enabled when Adam was placed in this garden. Oh, I've often wondered and thought what it would have been like to walk in that garden there when Adam and Eve did, and to see the beauty of it. Sometimes, brethren, when we can feel the Spirit of Almighty God overshadowing us, and we are able to sit under the sound of the gospel, and we can look out over the beautiful congregation of God's children, brethren, I believe sometimes that we are looking at part of that garden. Oh, she's beautiful to look upon. Ah, brethren, and I'll tell you, it was all of His. He made this garden, and He put man in it, and He told man that thou could eat of every tree of the garden except of the tree of good and evil. You notice there that God only gave Adam one law there at that time, and therefore, we won't go into all that because time will not permit, but we can see how that Eve did eat, and therefore Adam did willfully eat, and therefore all prosperity fell under Adam there. But I'll tell you, brethren, God had a remedy even before Adam ate that fruit. Brethren, we only The people said we only have history as far as this book is concerned. But brother, I believe that the primitive Baptist can go way back, even before the beginning of time, when the writer said that Courtney has chosen us in him before the foundation of the earth, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, yes, brother, even before Adam was ever made out of the dust of the earth, God, I believe, made a covenant with his son. And you know, we have people today that says the son only come into existence when he was born over there of the Virgin Mary. But I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, that is foolishness, that the Son of God was with the Father even before the highest hill of this earth was ever spoken to existence, because, brethren, you was chosen in him before the world was. And you know, the Spirit, brethren, it said the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters over there. So therefore, you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three, but yet they're one. Brethren, I was reared up as a primitive Baptist, and the brother was talking about the other night how that he hated to go, and you know I did, but Mom and Daddy, they always, we packed up and went. I believe they went more back then than they do now. I remember one Sunday morning, we left about 6 o'clock in the morning with this preacher, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, we was coming back home. I was tired, laying trying to sleep, and this preacher said, "What if it's somewhere here that we couldn't knock on the door and wake him up and preach the gospel to him?" I didn't understand all about it then. I could look out and I could see my mother and my father shedding tears. You know, only tear that I realized at that time was a tear for sorrow. I didn't know that there was a tear for joy. No, brother, I didn't realize that until I was a young man. Oh, yes, brother, but I remember one time when I saw myself as a poor, undone sinner. Brother, I'll tell you, I was like old Adam. I sewed fig leaves together and tried to hide my nakedness. But the more I tried to hide it, the more it was revealed. You know, brothers and sisters and kind friends, there is some things that you cannot hide. Yes, brothers and sisters, I know, because, brother, I tried a little of this, and I tried a little of that. Nothing helped me. I know. And you know, brothers and sisters and kind friends, I went to my dear old mother who had always give me good advice. A lot of times I didn't follow it like I should. I know. And you know, she began to cry. I says, "Well, I've made her cry again. Looks like that's all I've done all of my life." I didn't realize what she was crying about. I thought she was crying for sorrow because I was in the shape that I was in. She says, "Son, I had give up on you." But she said, "I'd rather see this happen to you than somebody give you $1 million. I'll tell you, brethren, I'd have given $1 million. I'd have been out of that state as far as that's been concerned right then. But, buddy, brethren, but gold and silver will not buy this thing. No, sirree, we can see how the children of Israel over there, when they was coming out of the land of Egypt over there, brethren, and how the mighty hand of God led them out. You know, they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels. Yes, brother, on this door over here, where it's back, come back, take care of Adam, the first man that God ever made out of the dust of the earth. And it reaches from back over here to every child of God that the Father loved and give to his Son in a covenant before the foundation of this earth. I know, brother, and you know, they say that the people predict when the end of times are coming. I'm not worried about the end of time coming, brothers and sisters and kind friends, because I'll tell you, it'll not come until the last hour of promise is called out of darkness into his marvelous light by the Spirit of God. And then he'll say it's enough, and then he'll finish it. But nevertheless, because, brethren, he has the power, and the glory is his, brothers and sisters and kind friends, because I want to tell you, we can see how that the children of Israel, how that the blood over there was over the doors, and the blood, and it was over their head, how they covered every child of God when the death angel come over that night there. And we can see how that Pharaoh turned the children of Israel loose. And we can see how that he gave them the gold, how that they give gold and silver and so on and so forth when they was leaving the land of Egypt. But you notice there, they had bread with them. Yes, and they got over there and they had no leaven in it. Brother, I'll tell you, we're not to take anything out of the land of Egypt when we come into this thing. No, brother, we're not to look at nothing but the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood. Yes, brother, and I'll tell you, they had no leaven. They eat the unleavened bread there. They made little cakes of it there as they was coming out and at this great Red Sea there. You know, brother, I used to wonder why it wasn't the Pacific Ocean, why it wasn't the Salt Sea. Why was it the Red Sea that they come up against there? Brothers and sisters and kind friends, I believe that every child of God, brother, has to cross that Red Sea. Yes, sir, brothers and sisters, because we can see how that, you know, that God, with his power by a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire was night, was following the children of Israel. And you notice there when they come to the Red Sea, that Pharaoh was pursuing after them there. And you know, that night, the cloud moved from in front of them, behind them. Oh, yes. And give light unto Israel, but was darkness to Egypt. Yes, the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, yes, but then we can see how that God was following his people and how his hand of providence has been over them. Yes, ever since that Adam transgressed, ever since that Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. And we can see how that he had the power to do these things. Oh, yes, and how we should give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. So many people want to take the praise and the honor from our God. But I'll tell you, brethren, even the children of Israel did. We can see how they after they crossed this great Red Sea there, brethren, how that they come over there. You know, and Moses was on top of Mount Sinai there. Yes, he had delivered them out of Egypt. He delivered them across the Red Sea, and he had made the waters, the bitter water sweet, and how he fed them with that little round cake of bread. I like to think of that little round because there's no end to a circle, brethren. There's no end to the food that Jesus Christ has his people here. But nevertheless, and we can see how that he went on. How that they went on, and Moses was up on top of the mount there, receiving the law. And I'll tell you, brethren, the preachers were talking last night about the parasites taking some of our people. I want to tell you, brethren, you got to lay a lot of blame of it on the preacher. I'll tell you that. I believe when the children of Israel was over there, you know, they went to Aaron. They said, Aaron, get up. Brethren, he ought not have been sitting down at that time, I don't believe, because they said, Aaron, get up and make us a cave. Yes, brethren, out of the gold and silver that they brought out of Egypt. So Aaron done this thing. And you know, when Moses come down, he was displeased with Aaron. What did he do? He took that calf and he ground it up into powder and he put it in water and he made him drink it. You talking about something bitter, brother? I'll tell you, I bet that was the bitterest water that the children of Israel has ever drunk. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters and kind friends, the same thing can happen to spiritual Israel today. Because, brother, if you put your gold and silver before this thing, brother, it becomes bitter to you. Anything you put before your God, it is bitterness to you. I want to tell you that it might not be right then, but it will be somewhere down the road. I'll tell you that, brother. You talking about whipping, brother? I've been whipped, yes, sir. Brother, I have worshipped men, yes, sir. I'll tell you, I'm sorry to say, but I've realized when I first come to the old Baptist church that when I heard the gospel preached for the first time, I never will forget the text that the man took. Oh, yes, I was in distress. Oh, yes, I'd called upon the name of the Lord and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, yes, and he had spoken and said, peace be still. It is I. Be not afraid. Thy sins be forgiven thee. But I'll tell you, I was still wandering out in the wilderness. Oh, yes, I was reared up in a primitive Baptist home. But I'll tell you, brother, and you talking about people are persecuting you. Oh, yes, and my mother, even her own mother told her, said, they'll eat you out of a house Johnson home, if you go to the old Baptist church, I want to tell you, brother and sisters and kind friends, my mama's down in North Carolina right now. Of course, my daddy's been dead for about 6 years, but I want to tell you, brother, I've never been to that home when there wasn't food on the table. It might not have been the finest in the land, and I'll tell you, I've given my bed up a many time for a dear old saint of God. At that time, I didn't appreciate it, but now I thank God that I was able to do it. Yes, sir, brother, and I'll tell you, no wonder that God, the glory is all His. Yes, and the victory and the majesty, all that is in heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Brother, if you've got anyone ahead of your kingdom other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going against this Bible. I notice this great organization is going to select them ahead today. I'm glad that my head never dies, brothers and sisters and kind friends. I'm not worried about him, no sir, brother, because he has promised to watch over his people. He said, I'll go with you all the way even until the end of the world. Oh, how much farther do you want him to go? Yes, brother, I'll tell you, right before we got ready to come up here, I was in a funeral with another order. Yes, and this brother, this, well, I don't know what he's a brother or not, but anyhow, he got up and he said that Christ died for the whole world. Yes, sir, and all you had to do was accept him. I said, well, I said to myself, what am I going to say? But nevertheless, I got up there and God was good to me. I said, you was chosen in him before the foundation of the earth, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, yes, and I told him, I said, this man here, we'd been to Georgia together many times. I said, he talked about the goodness and the mercy of God all the way down there and back. And I said, I'm not worried about his eternal salvation, because I believe that Jesus Christ spoke to him many years ago, brother. And that's why he was talking about the good and mercy of God, because God first loved him. And I said, if the choice was made, God made the choice before the foundation of the world. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters and kind friends, that preacher didn't have much to say to me when we got to the cemetery, but that's all right, brother, because I believe that I'm to stand for the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray to God that I'll always preach the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, because, brother and sisters and kind friends, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The greatness and the power and the victory is His. And we can see how that He, victory over Israel, we can see how that this pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ born over there in Bethlehem of Judea, in a manger. Oh, brethren, you know, when he was born over there, he didn't come like the Jews thought he was going to come, dressed in fine raiment, born in a fine home, a castle, just a little baby in a stable. But brethren, that baby was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't have to grow up 33 years to be it, neither. He was a king when he was born over there. And brethren, he was a king when he hung between heaven and earth. He was a king when he said, I loved him to the end. Because, brethren, he loved you all the way. His love didn't falter one bit when he was suffering on that rugged tree of the cross. We can see how that he walked the shores of time here and was persecuted, and how that he was made head of all of the church. I believe it's found over. Well, let's read Daniel here. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Brethren, now you're talking about, they talk about he's coming back to set up a kingdom here. Brethren, I'll tell you, he set up a kingdom. You know, he not only come into this world to save sinners, but brethren, he come in to give them a kingdom and a resting place from the storms of life while they travel through this low land of sin and sorrow. Brethren, I thought of many times, you know, my prayer is that he'll always keep me in such a way that I'll never lose the joys of his salvation. Because, brethren, it's the dearest thing to me in the world. Brethren and sisters and kind friends, to come to a meeting like this, there's nothing any better this side of heaven than to being able to sit under the sound of the gospel, have fellowship with the saints of God in all parts of the country. But speaking in the truth and love may grow up unto him all things which is head, even Christ. So therefore, brethren, you don't have to look for a head this morning to the church, because you have a great head that is watching over his people and will continue to watch over them. Not only while, you know, I heard a preacher say the other day that when Christ was resurrected and many of the saints which slept was resurrected with him, that was talking about the new being born again. Brother, and I want to tell you that when you was born again, you was dead. You wasn't asleep. I want to tell you that. You was dead in trespasses and in sin. No way in the world to wake you up. But now if my loved ones is asleep, I can slap them or something or other and wake them up in the morning. So therefore, brethren, these saints which slept, they were not dead. They were sleeping. And therefore, brethren, those that die in the Lord, they sleep. They're not dead. They're asleep in Christ. And brethren, on that third and the revolving morning, Christ rose the victorious to conquer over the death and over the grave. And brethren and sisters and kind friends, he when that stone was rolled back and he come forth, I don't care how many guards was there. I don't care how many layers of stone was there or what they have, brethren and sisters and kind friends, because on that morning, Christ would have come forth regardless of what was there. Because, brethren, he had the power to lay his life down. He had the power to take it up again. And he took it up. And when I was a young boy, going to funerals with my mother and father, I used to look down in the grave and I said, well, I don't want to be put down there. No, I want to be buried in one of them little houses on top of the ground. I believe they call them mausoleums now. You know, we got a fellow back home that builds those things, and he was telling me, he said, oh, they've got to be so much concrete, they've got to be so much stand and so much steel and so on and so forth and stand such. I said, I know a day when it'll come, brother, and it'll all turn to powder. He says, what are you talking about? I said, on that resurrection morning, brother, their bodies will come forth out of that regardless of how much sand, how much stone, and how much concrete you've got there. And brother, and I'll tell you now, I'm not worried about where this whole body lays, because my Lord laid there 3 days and 3 nights, and brother, and sweetened that resting place for me, and I'm not worried about this body laying there forever. I know, because, brother, he has promised to come back for us. He is sending back out of their sight up into heaven. He says, they said, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus you see going away, you'll see coming again in like manner. And brethren, that's what I'm looking for. Oh yes, I enjoy this kingdom here. I enjoy this church home. I've enjoyed it for 13 years. It's been the glorious and the most precious thing to me on this side of heaven. But brethren, I'm looking for another home where there'll be no end to it. That home up in heaven, where we'll praise him in a more perfect way. After you've prayed for all others and prayed for yourself, pray for me, I thank you, and amen.